Consisting of both woods and open heathland, Cannock Chase is a designated area of outstanding natural beauty in Staffordshire. Covering just 26 square miles, it is in fact the smallest area of outstanding natural beauty in mainland Britain. But the area's quiet loveliness belies the fact that Cannock Chase seems to be somewhat of a magnet for weirdness. Dubbed the paranormal hotspot of the UK, the area is reportedly host to so many strange entities that it's a wonder there's even room for the dog walkers and mountain bikers who flock there. I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. Cannock Chase has had a particularly high number of UFO sightings over the years. The area's most famous alleged UFO incident was in 1964, when an unidentified object is said to have exploded in mid-air, with some of the wreckage landing on an isolated road called Cocksbarrow Lane. According to rumour, four bodies were removed by the RAF and NATO, but the declassified documents do not detail the recovery of the bodies, or indeed that the crash happened at all. Most of the strangeness of the chase comes not from the sky, but from the misty heathland and dark woods. According to a 2009 study into paranormal occurrences, there have been at least 20 reported werewolf sightings in the area. A local legend set in 1975 tells the origin story of the werewolf of Cannock Chase. A 17-year-old boy had been using a Ouija board to contact evil forces and ended up selling his soul to the devil in exchange for the ability to turn into a werewolf. He phoned his friend in a panic, growling and groaning, claiming that he was transforming. When he was found, so the story goes, he was dead, having stabbed himself with a silver knife. Since the 70s, there have been numerous sightings, including an instance in which a paranormal investigation group visiting the chase saw a hairy creature rear up onto its hind legs and run off into the bushes. In 2007, reports came in of a werewolf-type creature walking on its hind legs through the German war cemetery. When the West Midlands Ghost Club went to take eyewitness statements, they were told that what at first appeared to be a large dog had raised itself up to the height of 7 feet tall before darting into the bushes. A month after this sighting, the Cannock Chase Post gave a platform to an unnamed paranormal expert who theorised that the werewolf could actually be a subterranean Stone Age throwback. So, werewolf or caveman? Or perhaps Bigfoot? Some people believe that Bigfoot, and that's the plural by the way, just like the plural of sheep is sheep, some people believe that Bigfoot live in the UK, and that there are some living in the chase. Others argue that the UK is far too small to allow a Bigfoot colony to exist undetected, but that sightings could be due to paranormal phenomena such as ghosts, time slips, or thought forms. This concept of Bigfoot being non-corporeal links up nicely with a tale from the late 1800s concerning a creature called the man-monkey. In the 1891 Shropshire Folklore by Charlotte Byrne and Georgia Jackson, the following tale is recounted. A very weird story of an encounter with an animal ghost arose of late years within my own knowledge. On the 21st of January, 1879, a labouring man was employed to take a cart of luggage from Ranton in Staffordshire to Woodcock beyond Newport in Shropshire. He was late in coming back. His horse was tired and could only crawl along at a foot's pace, so that it was 10 o'clock at night when he arrived at the place where the high road crosses the Birmingham and Liverpool Canal. Just before he reached the canal bridge, a strange black creature with great white eyes sprang out of the plantation by the roadside and alighted on his horse's back. He tried to push it off with his whip, but to his horror, the whip went through the thing, and he dropped it on the ground in fright. The poor, tired horse broke into a canter and rushed onwards at full speed with the ghost still clinging to its back. How the creature at length vanished, the man hardly knew. When he had recovered enough to return home, he told his neighbours what he had seen. He was told that he had seen the man-monkey. In 1998, a witness reported a strange sighting when they were driving through Cannock Chase. It was a star-filled night, clear but dark, and we were all in the car driving home, happily chatting and joking. Suddenly we all fell dead serious. The people in the back sat forward, and we all pointed to the same shape. It was a tall man-like figure, sort of crouching forward. As we passed, it turned and looked straight at us. In my own words, I would describe it as around 6'8" tall, legs thicker than two of mine, very strong-looking, and with a darkish blacky-brown coat. I just could not explain it, and I still get goosebumps thinking of it. In 2003, a man saw a large ape-like creature near Penkridge, the site of the alleged 1964 UFO crash. A few months later, another man driving across the chase at night spotted a 7-foot-tall beast lurking near the edge of the main road. Whether werewolf, caveman, or Bigfoot, the reported descriptions are very similar. It seems that what witnesses perceive the creature as is down to their personal worldview, influenced by broader societal beliefs. Where people were once stolen away by fairies, they're now abducted by aliens. What's perceived as a cat sitting on your chest in the sleep paralysis narratives of some cultures is a dead relative lying on top of you in others. There have also been sightings of other beasts in the chase, including ABCs, or alien big cats, which have been the subject of a previous episode of this podcast. Cannock Chase reportedly has the highest proportion of big cat sightings in the UK, with many people believing that a pet panther or leopard had been released into the wild and was living locally. Another bit of classic British weirdness associated with the area is the ghost dog of Breton, a huge black dog with glowing eyes. The dog is a portent of doom, its appearance heralding misfortune. Driving through Cannock Chase in 1972, Nigel Lee saw a ball of light crash into the side of the road. Intrigued, he slowed down, only to come face to face with, as he described it, the biggest bloody dog I have ever seen. Just 1 month later, one of Nigel's friends died in an accident. He believes that the death could be connected to the strange sighting. British big cats and black dogs are par for the course in the English countryside. But in recent years, Cannock Chase has become known for a being which is more often associated with the American states of Vermont, Texas, and Georgia. Since 2013, there have been rumours of a pig man, over 6 feet tall, largely human in appearance apart from his deformed head, with a protruding snout-like nose. The story appeared in local newspapers at the same time as the launch of paranormal investigator Lee Brickley's book, entitled UFOs, Werewolves and the Pigman, exposing England's strangest location, Cannock Chase. According to Mr. Brickley, local legend states that the Pigman came about due to experiments at a military camp during World War II, later escaping into the woods. An article in the Birmingham Mail claims that Mr. Brickley had been researching the Pigman for a decade, and still receives reports of sightings on a weekly basis. One email he received was from the grandson of a former soldier who was stationed at Cannock Chase during the war. The man, who wanted to remain anonymous, stated that his grandfather had been tasked with spreading rumours around the local area about the human-pig hybrid on the loose in the woods. This was in a bid to keep the public away from sensitive military operations. It appears that the soldier wasn't very good at spreading rumours, as none of the many message board threads about the strange goings-on at Cannock Chase seemed to have any trace of a pigman myth before 2013. Another legend which has made its way over from the States and planted itself firmly in the chase is that of black-eyed kids, eerie children who show up at your front door or knock on your car window asking for help. But there's something wrong with these kids. They have pitch-black eyes. Black-eyed kid sightings have been reported in America since the mid-90s and really came to prominence online in the last few years. In 2014, local media reported that a woman had encountered one in the chase. Around 2 months ago, my daughter and I were walking through Birch's Valley, an area well known for its spectral sightings, when we heard the screams of a young child. I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl, but they definitely seemed in distress and sounded very close to us, so we instantly started running towards the noise. We couldn't find the child anywhere and so stopped to catch our breath. That's when I turned around and saw a girl stood beside me, no more than 10 years old, with her hands over her eyes, like she was waiting for a birthday cake. I asked if she was okay and if she had been the one screaming. She then put her arms down by her sides and opened her eyes, which is when I saw they were completely black. No iris, no white, nothing. I jumped back and grabbed my daughter. When I looked again, the child was gone. It was strange, really. I knew something was going to happen. Even before it did, I just had a weird feeling. This anonymous woman's encounter, previously published on the aforementioned Mr. Brickley's website, was publicised in local media alongside another anonymous report, also provided by Mr. Brickley. It is interesting that these black-eyed kids stories from Cannock Chase don't follow the usual narrative. Far from trying to get themselves invited into a house or car, these Staffordshire spooks don't seem to do very much at all. Putting aside the sightings at the Chase, black-eyed kids really do deserve an episode all of their own, as they're an intriguing cultural phenomenon. I won't go into too much detail about them now, as they're going to be the subject of a future episode of Oddity. However, if your interest has been piqued and you can't stand to wait, you can get your black-eyed kids fix in the shape of the most recent episode of the ever-wonderful Astonishing Legends podcast. The most recent import into Cannock Chase is a particularly weird one, in that it's actually a fictional character created on the Something Awful forum. Yes, you've guessed it. Slender Man is apparently lurking in the Chase, even though he was invented in 2009 by a guy called Eric Knudsen. If you've somehow never heard of Slender Man, he's a tall, thin entity dressed in a black suit. He has a pale, featureless face, and long arms, or sometimes tentacles. His supposed presence in Cannock Chase made the news in 2015, courtesy of, once again, our friend Mr. Brickley. I know it seems like I'm a bit obsessed with this guy, but when you're researching the lore of this particular area, it's pretty difficult to find many other sources to draw on regarding these recent additions to the Chase. Reports passed on to the media by Mr. Brickley detailed a few rather obvious, albeit eerie, cases of sleep paralysis involving freaky figures in black, a fairly common part of the sleep paralysis experience in this part of the world. Lee does, to give credit where it's due, state that most of the so-called Slender Man sightings reported to him could have been caused by sleep paralysis. Another report takes place during a local resident's late-night walk. While taking a midnight stroll around Castle Ring last Friday morning, I happened to notice a strange figure in the distance. It appeared to rise out of the trees and hover over the path around 100 metres in front of me. I don't know if you've ever heard the stories of Spring-Heeled Jack, but if you have, this thing seemed to look pretty similar to all those old artists' impressions. It was very dark, but I could see it clearly because of the lights coming from Rugeley. It was also a pretty clear night. If I were to compare it to anything, I would say it looked like a stereotypical Victorian gentleman. Long black overcoat with a Homburg hat. Except, I know this was no flying human. I know that because it had blood-red eyes that shone in the night sky. It also had a mouthful of teeth that seemed to look like razors. Whatever it was, it stopped hovering and descended back into the trees. Needless to say, I did not investigate any further. A terrifying experience, no doubt. But even the witness likened it to old illustrations of Spring-Heeled Jack. There's no reasons to link these reports to Slender Man. Apart from the fact that they came in the wake of the media hysteria after the unfortunate case of the attempted murder carried out by two Wisconsin girls who blamed the attack on their belief in Slender Man. A sighting of a floating chap with sharp teeth, reported alongside a few vaguely similar sleep paralysis incidents, might get a bit of interest from local papers, but Slendy, well, Slendy practically guarantees coverage. Rather amusingly, the Birmingham Mail seems to have got the wrong end of the stick about Slender Man's origins, failing to acknowledge that he's a fictional character, and stating that Slender Men have been part of a global folklore for centuries. They may be known by different names, but their harrowing, elongated appearance remains the same around the world. Of course, sightings of intimidating figures in black have been reported for centuries, hence the design of Slender Man. His success in capturing our imaginations lies in the fact that he plays on our society's pre-existing fears. For more discussion on the cultural impact of Slender Man, you should check out the first episode of the Folklore Podcast, hosted by Mark Norman, with guest Dr. Andrea Kitter. It's a great episode, very much worth a listen, as are the other episodes. Questionable recent additions aside, the wealth of weirdness coming out of Cannock Chase really is fascinating. But I do wonder if the area's rich heritage really needed embellishing with genetically altered pigmen, screaming kids, and a message board ghoul, when it was already overrun with werewolves, a Bigfoot population, British big cats, a hellhound, and frequent UFO sightings, plus a plethora of ghosts which would take a whole extra episode to cover. Maybe I'm just being grumpy. The Pigman legend, wherever it sprung from, seems to have captured the hearts and minds of the locals who have, apparently, been using it to scare their kids. And you know what? That's absolutely a valid function of stories. Society's forever shifting and developing. What scares us, what resonates with us, is always changing too. I just hope that the new stories don't end up eclipsing the old ones. I like a good werewolf. Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear discussed, you can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Or, if you prefer email, odditypod@gmail.com. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time for another journey into the strange and unexplained.